Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Who's, man?
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, you guys will get in your seats. I'm singing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Hey, welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, M.A. Scott, and as always, don't promise you another wonderful show. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about... the SAT, you know, oftentimes we have, you know, guests call in or something like that. But I had the opportunity to sit in on a lecture, not a lecture, but a presentation not too long ago. And the speaker did a phenomenal job on the SAT, and I thought it was something that I needed to share with all of you. So what I'm going to do, something slightly a little different from what we normally do, and hopefully you had a chance to look at my homepage, but if not, you can check it out. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/parent. And check out that page, and you'll see as the slides scroll through, you'll see the PowerPoint presentation for this speaker's PowerPoint. But before I go any further, I'm going to check my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith Wright, again, I always give a shout-out to my boy Keith. Keith is a graduate of the University of Harvard. Played ball up there at Harvard, had a great time, now playing overseas. I believe he's home on a little break right now, but I'll go ahead and go to Keith, and then after Keith, we'll get started with our show. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the form, out the pen, but I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Well, like I said, that's my man, Mr. Keith Wright. And as Keith says each and every week, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Well, you know, like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about the SAT today. You know, SAT is one of those standardized tests that is required for every young student athlete that's trying to obtain his or her eligibility. Well, we not only have the SAT, we also have the ACT. But right now, I'm just going to focus solely on the SAT, and I'm not going to do a whole lot talking about it because I think what our guest has to say and her presentation is going to be enough said for everybody. But, parents, what I advise you to do, go to collegeboard.com, and that'll be something that my guests will highlight here shortly. Go to collegeboard.com, look up the requirements, look up any changes that may be coming, look up the test itself and have your child register with collegeboard.com. And I would recommend that he or she is registered as early as, you know, their freshman year. And although they may not be able to officially start taking the SAT for any valuable score or anything, but they can get practice in taking the SAT. They can get the weekly test questions. And if you're not doing that, parents, you're doing a disservice to yourself and your child, regardless of whether or not your child is applying for an athletic scholarship or just having to take the SAT just to better him or herself. So check it out. Check it out. Go to collegeboard.com and get involved with the SAT and get those weekly questions coming to you so that your child can get the best out of his or her situation when it's time to take the SAT. Well, without further ado, what I'm going to do shortly after this little break, we're going to go right into listening to our guests talk about the SAT. SAT preparation. I can stress the point time in and time out, folks, about the SAT preparation. Get your child involved. I got some more notes on things about the SAT. Well, you know, sometimes you'll say, what's the difference between the SAT and ACT? Again, my guest will answer that question. But one thing I want to stress, the ACT follows more of a school curriculum. The SAT is more strategy-based. And if you're good with strategies and you're not too good with math and not too good with science, then you may want to lean more towards the SAT. But without further ado, we're going to go into our presentation and pay close attention. Get time, get your pen, paper, and pencil out, all that kind of stuff. If you want to call in, you have some questions, or if you want to pass this information on to somebody, have them chime in on the conversation, they can always reach us at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. We love to hear from you. Love to get a chance to get out there and, you know, just share this information with other parents around the country, you know, that have children that's involved in this sporting process, sporting industry, recruiting process, and, you know, just get the best out of it. So let's go to our presentation, folks, right after this little piece from
Parents. Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, like I was saying, we're going to go through this little piece. Get time, get your pen, paper, and pencil out. We got about 25 more seconds before we actually get started with the presentation. Take a look at the slides that I uploaded on my homepage. Take a look at the slides. Each one of the slides will go through this presentation. Presentation may go at a different pace, but it's still valuable information.
But this entire presentation is available through Andy, and a much longer version of this presentation is available through Andy. My name is Paula Brown, and I am a retired director of instructional accountability with Hampton City Schools. During my last seven years at Hampton City Schools, I worked in testing only, and so I've become a resident expert in several tests, and SAT is one of them, SOL Virginia is another. I often get I have an interesting moment because I'm an avid sports fan, and I read the sports page every day, and I read about some great kid, and I know that I'm helping them just graduate, much less take the SAT. And they have all this potential and all this interest, and they're not going anywhere because they're not even got the initiative to pass the Virginia Reading Test. And you have to pass your Virginia Reading and Writing Test to graduate. It's a law. And they can't give you any way out. So you either take it and pass it or you don't get a diploma. And that means if you have to take it, and they have options to take it as many as 17 to 20 times. before you graduate. But if you do not pass it, you do not get a diploma in Virginia. So that Virginia SOL test is very important for reading and writing. And everything else can be negotiated and worked around and figured out, but not the Virginia reading and writing test. So take those very seriously. Also, in the SAT land, the qualifying score comes out of the reading and math. And a lot of people come in and say, oh, I got a 900 with three scores. And so that's not going to get them where they need to be. So I'm going to tell you, I'm a strategist. And so sports and strategy go along really well. And I believe in knowing your opponent. So I can, when I sit down with a student, I tell them the SAT is your opponent. The better you know your opponent, the better chance you've got of getting what you need out of them. The SAT is all about intimidation. So if you don't think you can be intimidated, go ahead and try the SAT right out of the bucket without any prep work or getting ready for it, okay? Because it will knock you off your socks. And the reason is Virginia students are trained to take untimed exams from third grade till 12th grade. It's a law in Virginia that you can have an entire school day to take one exam. There is no student can be rushed to finish an SOL test. They're taught to answer every question and to work on the entire test thoroughly, and then they go into an SAT that's 10 exams, one after another, 20 minutes each, and you don't need to do all the items in an SAT to get a high score. Most kids have no idea what the SAT is about, how it works, and so forth, and that's why I'm here tonight, to give you a little insight on how it works. It's a very peculiar exam. Some parents will say to me, well, then I'll have my child take the ACT. Well, unless they're really fabulous in science, you shouldn't take the ACT as an app. Mm. Yes, sir?
What's the difference?
I just told you. The ACT has a science component. And it also is, the ACT is two or three long tests. So you sit for an hour or so with a test. Okay, it's still time, but it's a longer test, more similar to the kind of test you're used to. And also, if you leave something blank or you get something wrong, it counts the same as a wrong answer, and the SAT doesn't count that way. They do it completely differently, and most students don't understand how that works. So yes, I am able to help a lot of students improve their SAT scores by teaching them strategy. But if you come to me and you have done nothing in your life to learn any English or any grammar or any mathematics, if you're in Algebra 1 and you're going to take the SAT, you're in a bad place. Because the SAT goes through Algebra 2. So you have to have that math and so forth. I'm a strategist. I can show you how to use what you know to get a higher score, but I can't put schooling in your head if you wasted your time in school. Okay? And I'm being a little tough about that because it's a lot of money. Now, you say, well, lady, why are you so interested in sports? Well, there's lots of reasons for that, but my current reason is my nephew is on a full ride to BMI right now for kicking, and it's an amazing opportunity. My sister pays nothing. They pay for books. They pay for everything. It's unbelievable, and it's free because the boy can kick a ball. But when he got ready to take his SAT, we had to have a conversation and sit down and work through that just like he would be if he was going to play at another team in the high school league. So he's a local. He graduated from Mitchville. He's a state record holder. And so I'm very involved in football in Virginia. So I'm really interested, and I like to see kids get that money because it's a lot of money, and it's a lot of education, and it's a future. And it's ridiculous to pass that up. So SAT, a formidable foe. There are tests that stand between you and what you want to do. You have a choice. You can hope for the best or be prepared. And if you come into an SAT hoping, you're going to leave disappointed, trust me. What if it's not only about the content? Being prepared means knowing the essential things about the SAT, the best practice material. If you go to Barnes & Noble, there's an entire wall of SAT prep stuff. The thing is, you need to buy material if you're going to buy any, and a lot of it's free on their website. It needs to be written by College Board because they're the owners of the copyright. Everybody else has to tweak it a little to make it non-illegal to reproduce. So if you go to the source then you picked the right place to go. Go get yourself online and use all the free materials. If they're not sending you the SAT question of the day right now as a freshman, you're behind the mark. You need to start getting those questions every day into your email box and try them, because you will get better at them as time goes on. That's where you start. College Board is the place where you get direction. And they have a motto. They say, nobody knows our test better than we do, and they're right, because they own it. And that's where you want to work. That's where you want to do all your work. Stay away from all the other materials, because they can get you off track. I'm also going to tell you, I'd like you to use the materials, but I'm not crazy about the advice they give with the materials. You see, the advice is given to their advantage, their test writer's advantage. It's not given to your advantage. So I'd like you to use the items, but I want you to use strategy that gets you the points you need for this test. The best thing you can get from this College Board experience is the directions. All the directions are given out ahead of time. If you read all the directions before you take the SAT, you won't have to wait seconds reading the directions. They are pre-released all the time. If you buy the little SAT practice book, it's about this thick, which is ridiculous, but it's filled with 10 released tests. These are the tests that were given to previous students, and they will give you plenty, plenty, plenty of practice. Okay, plenty of things you need, and it will give you all the directions ahead of time. So you know exactly what you're facing. Like, some kids go to the SAT and they don't take their calculator. Okay, a calculator in the math section is going to cost you 100 points right off the top. So if you don't take your calculator, all the seconds you wait figuring out the math is going to be 100 points at least. But guarantee it's going to be 100 points. There's three content areas tested, reading, math, writing. There's 10 exams, and each one of the areas gets three each. So what does that mean in math? There's one test you take at the SAT that counts. It counts for the people who write the test, but not for you. And that's one of the things they do. They put a test in the beginning of your experience that you take, and you're gung-ho, and you're at your best, and it didn't even count. So you have to be very careful that you give your best on test number 10 as well as test number 1. You're going to go at 7:30 in the morning. You're going to stay there 5 hours, and you're going to take 10 exams back to back. Trust me, if you don't know that ahead of time, your body will not last for you. Absolutely won't. All the answer choices, there are 5 answer choices per item. There's no graphics in English reading or writing. Very limited graphics in math. The good thing about the SAT math is it's straight math. It's not the SOL jumbled up, let's trick you today math, okay? It's very much just straightforward math. If you know your mathematics, you'll be able to excel in the math section, okay? That's very good news for people who are strong in math. There's not a lot of stuff to breathe through. Wrong answers count against you in every section except in student-produced responses in the math section. And you need to know that, because it's preceded by problems where it does count against you if you get it wrong in the same section. So you need to do that part first, because nothing can hurt you. And then do the 8 problems in the front where something can hurt you. Okay? Blank answers do not count against you. An entire section is for field testing. I told you that. Now let me explain blank answers to you. Okay? This is the key piece of SAT understanding. When you're in elementary school, your teacher may have given you a popsicle stick or a sticker or something for being good. Shake your head if you remember behavior rewards. Okay? And you would earn these rewards, and if you misbehave, some teachers would do what? Take them away. That's exactly right. Okay? So we're going to think about that little thing going on here. We're going to use popsicle sticks as your reward. So in the SAT, if you get an answer right, you get a popsicle stick. If you get an answer wrong, you give me back some of your popsicle stick. If you leave it blank, you keep your popsicle stick.
Don't guess.
And you don't have to finish. Lots of kids go, oh, I've only got 2 minutes left, and I've got 5 problems. The 5 hardest problems on the test. I'm guaranteeing you, you're getting them wrong if you got 2 minutes left. So leave them blank. Then you don't lose your popsicle stick. I have kids who earn 650s but get 540s because they just answer everything. Why did they do that? Because they've been trained to do that by public school educators, of which I'm one, for their entire school career. answer everything. Never leave anything blank. SAT, you need to leave things blank strategically. I have kids that say, oh, I'm seeing the whole thing blank. Well, you're going to get a 200. It's all about getting what you get right and holding on to it and not letting problems go, because I think I can figure that out. You answer what you know to answer. And here's what I tell students. The questions are in order from easy to hard. The easy ones count the same as the hard ones. I tell them, do every single easy and medium problem. If you don't get to the hard ones, nothing lost. But you should be able to do every easy and medium problem. And that will give you a very respectable score. Very respectable. Answers are in order from easy to hard in every section except for the reading part. And the reading part is different because it mixes the difficulty up, which means the first question could be the hardest and the second question the easiest. But basically, I tell students, go by how much they ask you to read. If you're asked to read one line, that's an easy question. If you're asked to read 2 to 8 lines, that's a medium question. And you're going to get about 20 to 30 of those. And then if it tells you to read the whole thing, the question says, after reading the whole passage, then you know that's a hard question. Skip that one and do the easy medium ones first. That way you've got the best chance of using your time to your advantage. Remember, you want to keep your popsicle sticks. Why spend 5 minutes on one hard problem that you're most likely going to get wrong? And I'm not insulting your ability. I'm acknowledging that PhDs write these exams, and they're really good at it. Anybody here from Phoebus? Well, Phoebus football, Hampton football, they do a lot of things called intimidation tactics. So when Litchfield, that's where my nephew was playing, would go out to play Phoebus, they would come out with their benches loaded, bring in the JV team, put them behind, make everybody look like, whoa! And then when they come to the line, they're huffing and they're grunting. The game hasn't even started, and the Litchfield player want to go home. That's called intimidation. If you walk into the SAT and you haven't dealt with some of these things, you're going to look at those words and go, oh my gosh, are those words in the English language? Because they're purposely picked to intimidate you. That's done on purpose. So you've got to get past that intimidation and look for where you can do your best. So you're going to have to play Phoebus. Or you're going to have to play that best team wherever they are. And you can defeat them. You can defeat them and get the best score you can get. And the best score that your ability can get if you know a lot about your opponent. There are 3 content areas. There's a possible 800 points for each one. The one that qualifies you for scholarship are these 2 areas of reading and mathematics. So you have a possible 1,600 points there, and the NCAA is asking you to get anywhere from, you know, 800 to 900 to 1,000, whatever. If your GPA is really low, you're going to have to get a high SAT. Guys, if your GPA is very low, the chance of you getting a high SAT is just not going to happen. It's much easier to get your GPA up and get a reasonable expectation out of the SAT. Okay? That's what I'm telling you. Really work on that GPA. It's easier to improve your GPA than it is to go out and knock the SAT out of the ballpark. Unless you're a raving genius and you've just been playing a game every day at school. You know, just kind of like, I'm just brilliant. I didn't want to do anything in school. I don't know how that would happen, but I know it does. Okay? All right. The critical reading section has 3 parts. They're 25 minutes, 25 minutes, and 20 minutes long. You see the number of questions here. There are, of these 67 questions, 19 questions are fill in the blank. I've worked with hundreds of students over the years, and that's where I see the biggest deficit. They don't know how to do the fill in the blank. The words are intimidating. They've seen the words before. They don't know what they are. They don't know how to do those kind of questions. So I'm, of all the skills that I can showcase here tonight, I'm going to showcase how to do the fill in the blank. Because that's 19 questions you could get right if you really worked in that area, okay? Each section begins with sentence completions and continues with the passage, okay? These sentence completions go in order from easy to hard. They can have 1 or 2 blanks. Let me show you how the test writers play with you. They have 8 questions. Some of them have 1 blank to fill in. Some of them have 2. What they do is they mix them up. Number one has duplex. Number two, one. Number three, one. Number four, two. Number five, two. Number six, one. Number seven, two. Number eight, one. Because they do that so that your brain has to ping pong between strategies. It's just like one of them goes here, next one goes here, now I gotta go back to this one, go back to this one. So I tell students, do all the one blanks first, then come back and do all the two blanks. Or do all the two blanks first and come back and do all the one blanks. Then you're playing the game your way. Then you're playing it to your advantage instead of the test advantage. You see where I'm going with this? So if I teach you a strategy for the one blank, do all of those. And then do the strategy, which is completely different for the two blanks, all together. Because that's how you change your score. That's how you beat this guy, this thing, his own game. Now I'm going to try to show you how this works. When there's one blank, 100% of the time, the answer to the blank is in the sentence. 100% of the time. And you know where students go or test takers go? They read the sentence and they see the blank and they immediately go to the choices. And they start sticking the choices in. Absolutely the wrong thing to do. When you look at the one blank, you read the sentence and you look for the answer. Then you go to the choices. If you have the answer in your head, you won't be ping-ponging over all the choices. Okay? Now, here's one we're going to do. Normally, when I'm working with a student, I don't show them the choices because they immediately go to the choices and start sticking them in. And that's exactly how a test defeats you. Exactly. So what I'm going to show you is that food can be a blank element in family life, comma, bringing us together in times of trouble and times of joy. In the SAT, the answer to that blank is in the words of this sentence. If there is a punctuation mark here, a colon, a comma, a semicolon, and the blank is on this side, the answer's on the other side. If the blank's on this side of the comma, the answer's on the other side of the comma. In this case, food can be a blank element in family life. If I start sticking all those words in, every single word works. But they don't match the exact definition given in the sentence. In other words, bringing us together is the operative verb here. Okay, these are prepositional phrases. If you don't know what a prepositional phrase is, you're going to have trouble with the SAT. Okay? These are phrases that amplify this set right here. Bringing us together is the exact definition of the answer. It is positive or negative?
Positive.
Okay? You want a positive answer. Now let's look at these words. And addictive. Addict is the root. Is it positive or negative? Negative. It's a negative word, okay? So could it be the answer? No. All right? Let's look at the second word. It starts with the letter C-O-N. Con. Positive or negative?
Negative.
Could it be the answer? No. The next word starts with U-N-I. What does the prefix U-N-I mean?
One.
Is that positive or negative?
Positive.
The next word starts with R-E. R-E means to do something again or go back. Is that positive, negative, or neutral?
Neutral.
It's neutral, okay? R-E is a neutral prefix. And what about the last one? Starts with I-N. I-N. Is I-N positive or negative? Negative. Now, these words should be recognizable to you. When you take the SAT, they will look like Chinese. Okay? If you don't know your prefixes, all those little in, not, none, x, a, all these little things that come at the front of words and know if they're positive or negative, you can't sort the Chinese. You can sort words. You have no idea what they are if you know about prefixes and what they are. Okay? So we have said to this list, negative, negative, positive, neutral, negative. What did we want bringing us together? Positive. So if it is Chinese, could we get the answer right? Yes. Do you know what people do when the words are when the words are words they don't know at all? They pick the word they know a little about, even though it has nothing to do with the sentence. See it all the time. If they recognize one word in the list, they pick that word. And that's exactly what you call a sucker punch. Because you just fell for the best trick they got. If you read their materials, they'll tell you the fill in the blank is based on prefix, suffix, and root. The stuff you've been learning since the second grade. The prefix, suffix, and root that they use on the SAT come from the second, third, fourth, and fifth grade. That's it. No high-level prefixes, no high-level roots, absolutely no high-level suffixes. All second and third grade suffixes. So the SAT is not really the foe you think it is, if you know how they run their game. So, 100% of the time, the answer will be in the sentence. I challenge you to go look at all the free materials on the one blank, and you'll find it every time. The answer's in the sentence, answer's in the sentence, answer's in the sentence. But watch how fast you're going to go to the choices. When you're drawn to the choices, you're being distracted on purpose. And they're better than you are, because that's all they do all day long is make up tests. And guys, if you get the answer right, they fail. If you get the answer right to all their questions, they get fired. If they can get you to pick the wrong answer every time, they get a bonus. Okay, so just remember that. Their job is not to support you. I'm trying to support you, but not the SAT. All right, when there's two blanks, okay, here's the first thing they want you to do. You're going to have two blanks in the sentence, and they're going to have paired words. Two words, two words, two words, two words, two words. They want you to take the two words and stick them in. Then go to the next one and take those two words and stick them in. See if they work. Then go to the next one, which makes you ping pong back and forth, like bang, 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 bang. That was right. That was wrong. That was wrong. That was right. That was right. That was wrong. I don't know which one's right. I don't know anymore. Okay? There's an easy way to get them right every time. Here's the way. You take this and you draw a line right down the middle. Okay? These words go with that blank. These words go with that blank. You can either predict the what goes in the blank in your own mind and match it up, or you can use the words on the left or right. Now, if the words on the left and right are in Chinese, you're going to have to go with your first response, okay? But hoping to blank the dispute, what word would go in that blank from your own mind? Hoping to blank the dispute. What would negotiators want to be doing with a dispute?
End it.
Okay, I want you to look at me, because all of you that are searching the choices, you are falling for the main trick they do. You see that? I'm watching you all do that. And I'm sitting here going, all of you are going to fail. Because you're drawn to go to the choices. When you take the SAT, you have to take your hand and lay them over the choices. Let me show you how smart they are. When you are reading an item in your peripheral vision, you are already considering choice A. Before you finish reading. And where do you think they put the best wrong answer? In the first choice. So you have to be very careful when you take any test. If you got a lot of A's as your answers, you probably got a lot of wrong answers. Because that's where the best thing is going to go. Because test writers study. You're on their bulletin board. Your picture is up there. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take these people out. Okay? And we're going to use intimidation, and we're going to use behaviors that they've learned in school and destroy them with them. Okay? So once you divide them in half like this, okay? So you said hoping to what to dispute? Stop. Stop's a great word. Now, let's look at the words on the left. Which words on the left mean to stop? In? What else?
Resolve.
Anything else? Overcome. Okay, we got three words that are similar to stop. Okay, now watch this. We said this one and this one are not correct, right? So we're going to mark them out, but we're going to take our pen and go all the way across. Okay? When you go all the way across, you eliminate the answers that would have made you question. Because what's left is one positive and two negatives. Divisive, unattractive, acceptable. When you have two negatives and one positive and one blank, what's the answer? The one that's by itself. You don't have to know anything. Okay? You just have to be a strategist. And why am I telling you this? Because they do this on purpose. And you have to come into this game prepared to go at them at their own game. So like I said, I work with kids and I teach them strategy, but I don't teach them English and reading and math. I teach them what this test looks like. First thing I would do with you when you sat down with me is I'd take the test booklet, start on page one, and we're going to walk through it to show you what it looks like. Then I'm going to talk to you all about its characteristics before I ever teach you a strategy. Because you know what you all do when you play somebody? You watch film, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you watch film?
To see what they're going to do.
Exactly. So that you can plan what you're going to do, right? That's exactly how you take an SAT. You look at them, look at all their tapes, and you plan what you're going to do. So, just in case you want to know, I don't tutor students in the business. I work with coaches in the area. I just do volunteer work here and there. I see kids all over the place. I'm completely booked for every single day. I'm seeing a kid to help them with the SAT and for the May exam. I'm not looking for any business. I'm just giving you information. The PowerPoint is full of what you need. I can't possibly see all the students in Virginia, and I don't want to have a business or anything like that. I just want to help kids that come across my path. It's best if you work through your coach. It's nice when I get to go out to a high school and work with several members of the team at once, because that way it's like helping more kids. So I have a good relationship with Warwick and Benchville and with Demby, and I live in the Newport News area, so I kind of play those relationships. But I just want you to know, you need help before you take the SAT. If anyone tells you take the SAT to try it out, tell them to jump off a bridge and try it out. Okay? Because that's the same impact you're going to be, okay? All right? You don't take the SAT to try it out, because what you do is you learn terrible ways to answer questions, and then somebody's going to have to teach you how not to do that. And my case in point is because all of you were doing all the wrong behaviors every time I put a question on the board. So that's what I want you to know. Your body is going to urge you to do wrong things. You've got to regret that. So thank you for your time and your attention. Thank you.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that presentation on SAT, and hopefully you had a chance to get something out of it. You know, I've listened to that presentation several times over and realized that just that information that Barbara is sharing with us, you know, although it's not long and extensive and in super great detail, just that little bit of information that she has shared with us is powerful in itself. You know, because oftentimes our children look at these tests and are challenged by these tests or intimidated by these tests, and realizing and understanding the strategy of simple test taking is a huge step in the right direction, It's something that we should make sure that our children understand. Like I said, the ACT is more on the lines of a school-based curriculum. It follows more of the school curriculum for most schools. SAT, like I said, is a strategy-driven test, and if you understand it, understand how to navigate through the strategy, then you should be very successful. Go back, take a look, listen to, take a look at the PowerPoint presentation, the slides that I uploaded. Look at them time to time. If you can, copy some notes off of them. At the same time, go back and listen to the archive copy or share the archive copy with others, you know, because this information, folks, I can't say enough about it. It's valuable. It's valuable information. I heard that presentation for the first time and I was like, wow, I got to get this out to the folks in my network and make sure that they understand the strategy behind taking this SAT. You know, a couple things that you mentioned, the SAT compared to the ACT. SAT is about 3 hours long. The ACT is approximately 3 hours and 45 minutes long. and both of them are a series of different tests. But the ACT, like I said, follows school curriculum, 3 hours, 45 minutes long, heavy in science and things of that nature. And, you know, if you're not really a stellar student, then you may want to stay away from the SAT, excuse me, the ACT, and deal more with the SAT. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines here, see if anybody has any questions. You can always give us a call at 917-889-8095. We'd love to hear from you. Love to see what you have to talk about. We've probably got about 15 more minutes left of the show. Pass this information on to family, friends, colleagues, whoever, any of our young folks that's getting ready to take this test, just sit them down and sit them in front of a computer and just let them listen to this and take some notes off of this. And the guy where I picked up this information from, Recruit 757, phenomenal program, they have a monthly program for kids and parents. And I've missed probably a couple of them over the years, but for the most part, I made it to every single one of them. I had a little presentation I had to do myself, but again, it was valuable information, folks, valuable, valuable, valuable information, something that we can't afford to overlook. And that's what I try to do here at the Parents Coaching Parents Network, just provide you with some information that you may not be able to get in and everywhere, especially for free. You know, you can always sit down and pay somebody, and somebody can always, you know, take your money. And I look at it this way. You know, this information is information that's going to look out for the best interests of our kids, and this is information that is going to help secure a better future for some young man or some young lady. So, hey, why not provide it to them? Why not give it to them? Well, I'm going to step away for a few minutes, regather myself, regather some thoughts here, and then I will be right back here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
How do you meet and pick your agent?
They meet and pick you.
No, they don't.
Picking agents is just like picking a college. Soon as they hear about, there's a pretty good eighth grader. There's a ninth grader that can walk and chew gum.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tenth grader. We're going to see what's going on with his uncle. Let's see what's going on with his sister. Let's see what's going on with somebody in his circle, one of the coaches, an AAU coach. We're going to get in his circle. And that person is going to be the sounding board back to the agent in a lot of different cases. And more than one agent, by the way. Recruiting is a dog-eat-dog world. You got to get grandma.
Really?
Oh, no doubt. If they got grandma, you got
to
get grandma.
You got to go to grandma.
Side. Yes, indeed.
In this agent recruitment process, is champagning and campaigning involved?
Absolutely. With everyone I just mentioned, every step along the way, if it's going to help get me closer to the player, get me closer to the mom or the dad or to the uncle or to the AAU coach or to the player or to whoever's making a quality decision, absolutely yes.
See, this is one of the reasons I like doing this podcast. I didn't know any of this stuff about 20 minutes ago. And now it makes a lot more sense. I'm about to quit my job and become an NBA agent.
It's almost like if I was a high school player right now and I was an All-American doing this podcast with you, there would be agents and college coaches and recruits trying to holler at you to gauge how close you are to me, and they're going to gauge that on how much influence you're going to have on my decision, whether 1% or 99%.
And if, let's say, it was a high percentage, would they give me money?
They would do a lot of things for you. All of a sudden, Jacoby got on a new job.
They might not write a check, but that'd be taken
Jacoby
care of.
Jacoby working at some summer camp.
I need a table at this restaurant tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. It's Who done. Your favorite artist? Oh, you like Jay-Z? I'm about to call him right now.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's how it works. And sometimes, in a few cases, the player doesn't know that this is happening. So it's snakes on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's a snake in your circle. It's a snake that's allowing this to happen from the outside, whether it's a college coach or agent, but it's not personal because it's business. They are credible agents. They're very good college recruits. They're excellent college coaches, but money's involved. Big business is involved.
Tell me about the relationship between the athlete and the agent.
When you have somebody to represent your best interest, you're really not on the phone when they make the calls on your behalf. So you hope that they're speaking your language or representing your best interest, but you don't know what they're on the phone saying to a contractor or an endorser or a potential sponsor. You don't know what he's on the phone saying to a GM. You don't know what he's on the phone saying to an owner. You're just hoping that he's relaying the message that you're giving him, but you don't know.
How does that feel?
It makes you feel dumb.
Yeah.
But it's the professional part of it that it teaches you that you're just a worker. You're just a cog in this. He's going to be an agent for 30 years. You're going to play for 3 years. And when that's the case, there's always going to be some shady business.
Of course. I just want to clarify. I don't think you're saying the business itself is shady, but there are shady aspects when
like
you're talking about multi-million
conquest,
dollar.
NSG rule number 10,080. Recruiters and agents are shady.
Wow, folks, I just figured I'd slide that little piece in there from Jalen Rose doing a little piece that he did on ESPN. I think you can find the podcast again on ESPN, or you can basically definitely find it on YouTube. But going back to the SAT prep, you know, you want to make sure that you, you know, have every opportunity to take the SAT or ACT. You want to make sure that your child has the opportunity to take it as many times as possible. There is no limit to taking the SAT. You know, if you want to take it 5 times, if you want to take it 10 times, you know, the advantage of taking the SAT, you can take the SAT, say, for example, if the exam was given in June, then it's given in October. Okay, they can look at the reading scores in June and see if that's your best score compared to the one that you took in October. And if so, they can use that reading score. But if you have a better math score in October than you had in June, then they can combine the two to make your total score for the SAT. Something that will qualify your child to be eligible for a scholarship. Excuse that noise that you just heard. I'm on the move just as I speak, but at the same time, I feel the need to get this information out and make sure that, you know, we do have the opportunity to give our children every possible aid to ensure that their success is in their grasp. Their success is in their grasp. If we don't do it, then who's going to do it? You know, I like to say that we are our children's biggest advocate, and, you know, hashtag being advocate, I push that every time I send something out on Twitter, and I'm going to start pushing it as far as sending information out on Facebook. Be a advocate. Actually, I know correct grammar would say be an advocate, but just to keep it simple and keep a number of letters in there, I say be a advocate. Be an advocate. Hashtag be an advocate. And if you ever look at it and see it as it pops up, you'll know what it stands for. Be an advocate. Be an advocate for your child. Be an advocate for your child's success. Your child's success, because at the end of the day, folks, that's what it's all about. It's all about our children. Well, you know, I had an opportunity to listen to Outside the Lines earlier today, and as I was listening to them, they were talking about coaches and academics. I'm going to sidetrack for a second, but they're talking about coaches and academics, and this is kind of sort of tying to the SAT thing as well, but I'm going to just address this issue and I posted something on our Facebook page, Parents Coaching Parents Network on Facebook. I posted something on our Facebook page. And love to hear your comments, your thoughts, your ideals. You know, what do you think we are at? You know, as I was listening to Outside the Lines, it was addressing the issue. Well, they started out addressing the issue of this violation that's going on at the University of North Carolina, where this young man has claimed that there was fake class going on, or classes wasn't really being, wasn't really taking place. You get to class, and the class seemed to be canceled again this week, and canceled again next week, and, folks was writing term papers and research projects and all these other kind of things. You had these tutors that was out there doing a whole lot of things for student-athletes. So this surfaced, this came out, and as a result, of course, it came out, and it was against the almighty University of North Carolina. So University of North Carolina, the head basketball coach, Roy Williams, came out and simply said that, no, that's not the case. He wasn't aware of it. He's only aware of certain things, and, he doesn't have total control over the basketball program and the whole works. Listen to the Outside Line podcast. I think I actually posted the link on the Facebook page as well, but check it out. But one thing that really and truly caught my attention was listening to a number of coaches that I've had the opportunity to speak to personally, listening to them, they stated that, parents, and that's talking about us, and I kind of sort of took offense to when I heard the statement. Parents are only concerned about their child's academics while that coach is sitting in your living room or on that recruiting visit or came to visit that school and you had a chance to talk to that coach. That is Oh, I truly apologize. We were on the move, and call seemed to have dropped.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Okay, folks, we're back. We're back. Once again, I truly apologize. We were on the move. Call dropped, and I just realized that the line had disconnected. But like I was saying, coaches stating that we as parents are only concerned about our children's academics during the time period that we're sitting there talking to the coach while he's in our living room. Then once the child gets to the school, we're more concerned with the child's playing time and things of that nature instead of worrying about whether or not the child is still maintaining a high academic level. You know, day one is trying to get a pass on the allegations that was made as far as what's going on academically in a lot of these institutions. Two, I know for a fact, me and several other parents within our network, and I would love to hear somebody call in and testify to it, is simply that I know for a fact that, I inquired about my child's academics as often as I could, and I know several others that has done the same thing. So for them to sit there and allege that we're only concerned about our child's academics during the time prior to the child getting to the school, I was heated on that, and I was hoping that I was able to tweet in and get Andy Katz's attention during the time that he was recording the show, and I was going to simply see if I can get a chance to chime in on that conversation or come back in the defense of us as parents. You know, we're concerned with our child's academics all the way. We get to the point where the coaches have more access to our child's academic status than we do, because what can happen in a lot of cases, simply if the child is 18 the child has to sign a release just to simply give you access to those academic records. You know, I've managed to maintain a good working relationship with my child's academic advisor, and she was able to keep me apprised of what was going on. But in a lot of cases, if you don't maintain any type of relationship and you're not getting any type of report from the coaches, then you have to rely on your child giving you a fair assessment of what's going on academically. You know, if you haven't, that your child hasn't signed that waiver to give you access to that information. So, you know, when that coach made that statement, I was very appalled by that. And I wish I had a chance to chime in on that conversation just to give the parents a voice in that whole statement. So, again, if you get a chance, go to my Facebook page, Parents Coaching Parents Network, chime in on that conversation. Love to hear your thoughts. Love to hear your ideals. Check out the PowerPoint presentation on our homepage here on Blog Talk Radio. And it will give you some information as far as looking at each one of the slides and giving you some information on the SAT. All the information that she just covered is right there. Is right there on the slides. Is right there on the slides. So please, please, please take the time, check that out, and see what's in the interest of your child. Get your child to sit down and walk through it. You can always catch us each and every week. We'll be airing our show every Sunday night at 9:30. If you want to call in, you can always call in at 917-889-8095, or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Parents Coaching Parents Network and check us out as well. But it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. We love to hear from you. As always, if you want to reach out to us, you can find us on Facebook. You can email us at pcphr@aol.com. You can find us on Twitter at PCP Network or Instagram at PCP Network. We love to hear from you, parents. And as always, thank you. Thank you for your time and your support. This is M.H. Scott, Parents Coaching Parents Network. We out of here.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents. Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Take us out, Keith.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I-